You are listening to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. I'm Allison Stewart. Joining me today is guest host John Fugelsang. Welcome, John.
Thank you, Allison. Today is Thursday, the 27th of December, and we have breaking news.
Former Prime Minister and Pakistani opposition leader Benazir Bhutto is dead. She was killed today in a gun and suicide bomb attack that killed at least 20 others at a political rally in Rawalpindi, near the capital city of Islamabad.
A security advisor told the Associated Press that Bhutto was shot in the neck and chest as she got into her vehicle shortly after addressing the rally. The gunman then blew himself up. Now, this evolving story and details are still being confirmed.
Bhutto, who was 54 years old, was taken to Rawalpindi General Hospital, where she died at 6:16 p.m. local time. Now, that is according to Asif Ali Khan, a member of Bhutto's party. Her supporters at the hospital exploded into anger, smashing the glass door at the main entrance of the emergency unit. They chanted, "Dog Musharraf, dog," referring to Pakistan's President Pervez Musharraf, who has clashed with Bhutto.
The U.S. has been encouraging Musharraf to reach some kind of political accommodation with the opposition, particularly with Bhutto, a former two-time prime minister who is seen as having a wide base of support through her Pakistan People's Party in the Southwest Asian nation.
Now, the Pakistani election is in 2 weeks, and of course now everything is in disarray. Bhutto had returned to Pakistan from an eight-year exile on October 18th. Her homecoming parade in Karachi was also targeted by a suicide bomber. That attack killed 140 people, but Benazir Bhutto narrowly escaped injury.
In Washington, Deputy State Department spokesman Tom Casey condemned the attack and said, quote, "It demonstrates that there are still those in Pakistan who want to subvert reconciliation and efforts to advance democracy."
Moments ago, we spoke with a member of Benazir Bhutto's media team, an emotional Farah Ibsahani, who is at the hospital where Benazir Bhutto died. Hello, Farah. This is Allison Stewart from NPR. Where are you right now?
I am just outside the grounds of the Rawalpindi General Hospital, where they brought Ms. Benazir Bhutto, former Prime Minister of Pakistan, and they brought other party leaders who were also injured. There are riots starting in the grounds of the hospital. Glass has been smashed. There are people are chanting slogans against Musharraf, as this was a huge breach of security.
Can you look around you right now, and will you please describe the scene for me in detail?
It's mom, it's workers from the Pakistan People's Party, and all through the grounds of the hospital outside and on the streets now, they're burning posters of President Musharraf's political party. Electricity lines are being cut off, and people are crying and in disarray.
Is it clear when Ms. Bhutto died?
Do you mean a time or a location?
Both. Did she die at the hospital or was she killed at the scene?
Yes. She passed away at the hospital. They took her to an operating theater as she was injured in the suicide bombing, and she passed away at the hospital.
You obviously sound incredibly upset. For our listeners, can you put into words what it is you're feeling right now?
Ms. Bhutto came back from a very comfortable life abroad. She came back to fight these forces of extremism. She came back to try and bring Pakistan back towards a secular democracy. People like myself left our homes and left our families and joined her. The army killed her father. Both her brothers were assassinated, and yet she came back. She came back for this country. She was a real daughter of the soil of Pakistan.
And Farah, what do you anticipate will happen in the days following this assassination of Benazir Bhutto?
moment, the vice chairman of the Pakistan People's Party, Makhzoom Amin Fahim, and some of the party leaders are still at the hospital. And Ms. Putra's husband, Senator Asif Ali Zardari, is in Dubai with their children. And we are waiting to hear what he will decide to do. At this point, there has been no decision about whether the party boycotts elections or not.
Farah, who do you think may be responsible for this attack?
It was clearly a suicide bombing. Who was behind that bombing? Why the security was so lax? There are no answers at this moment. The Pakistan People's Party had been asking for answers to what happened in the first bomb blast. So when she came back to Pakistan, we were not allowed to bring in people from Scotland Yard to see who were the perpetrators of that blast. And today we are... She's gone.
How do you want people to remember Benazir Bhutto when they speak of her?
She was a tremendously courageous and brilliant and compassionate human being. And her idea of Islam, and she was a religious woman. She was a Muslim woman. She was a woman devoted to her family and her husband and her children. But her idea of Islam was a very, very different Islam. And I hope she's remembered as the greatest daughter this country has ever produced and the first woman prime minister ever elected in the Muslim world.
Farah Ibsahani, member of Benazir Bhutto's media team, we're very sorry for your loss. Thank you for taking the time today. We'd like now to go to Kamil Siddiqui with the News International. He has been kind enough to keep us up to date. He's been doing some reporting on the situation. And Kamal, is it any clearer about whether it was actually the suicide bombing itself that took Benazir Bhutto's life or whether it was an assassin's bullet?
Well, both reports are coming in, and it's not clear whether it was actually because the initial report suggested that she died of bullet wounds, and this is something that her husband also said. But the Interior Ministry is insisting that it was not bullet wounds, but the bomb blast that took place at the exit of the park as she was leaving the park that took her life.
Let's put this in perspective for people who haven't maybe been following the story as closely as they were perhaps last October. Benazir Bhutto returned to Pakistan after 8 years in exile. Describe what the reaction was when she initially returned to Pakistan and what kind of danger she put herself in coming back and why.
Well, people were very happy to see her back after so many years, because with her came the hope of democracy and also the hope that once again Pakistanis will be known for their moderate Islam, and the fact that Benazir Bhutto was a democratic leader, Pakistan's first elected woman prime minister, and also a person that a lot of young people were identifying with as well. So her return to Pakistan was an occasion for a lot of people to cheer after a long time, because there have been incidents of violence and suicide attacks prior to her arrival in Pakistan. So people were very happy that once again things were getting better in Pakistan. So this was the kind of expectations people had, that things would get better in the country once she came back.
When she returned to the country, she very much took on President Musharraf, wanted to make sure that he took off his military uniform, that he was no longer the general as well after he had declared martial law in the country. Had they been working at all in concert in the past few months since she returned? Had they reached some sort of working arrangement?
There was some tacit, there was some understanding between the two, and Benazir was quite a skilled politician, a skilled negotiator, someone who one could not take for granted. She was very much aware of what what was at stake and how Musharraf was playing his cards. And she played her cards reasonably well because she got Musharraf to retire from the army and take on his job as a civilian president. But talks broke off after Musharraf declared emergency in the country. And that is when any talk of a deal between the two was stopped. But there were still expectations that once the elections were held and Benazir came back with some majority in parliament, that the president would have to deal with her in order for her to form a coalition government of some kind.
We're speaking with Kamal Siddiqui regarding the assassination of Pakistani opposition leader Benazir Bhutto. We should point out, though, Bhutto did have her detractors. There were some people who thought that she could be quite brutal.
There have been, like any politician in Pakistan, there are all detractors, and there were people who were against her, and there were people who were critical of her terms as prime minister. But what was interesting was that with what a lot of people were speculating, that if free and fair elections were held, there's a very good chance that Benazir Bhutto's party, if not her, would resume power, come back to power, such as the popularity of her party in the country.
If we had to look at possible groups that might take responsibility for this attack against Benazir Bhutto, who are some of the players that might be considered?
The interesting thing is that after the October attack, Benazir Bhutto held a press conference in Karachi where she said that if there was an attempt on my life or if I am killed, the government should not look at the militants and should not look at religious extremists, but should look at people from within President Musharraf's government. But at the same time, she clarified that it was not President Musharraf who would be responsible, but there were some elements within his government that were against her, and these were the elements who were trying to harm her. So this is, and she also said in the press conference that she had given a letter to President Musharraf in which she had identified the people who would, if an eventuality like this took place, who she would hold responsible.
As I'm talking to you, I'm looking at my television here and I'm looking at CNN, and they have some pictures on tape from outside of the rally where there's quite a bit of violence going on outside the hospital where people are chanting and clearly in a state, a disruptive state. What do you anticipate will happen in the next week or so?
Well, what I anticipate is that there will be violence. People are in a state of shock in Karachi. Already petrol pumps are being burned as people have come out on the streets to vent their anger and frustration at what has happened. So we will see violence initially, but hopefully that will calm down, because at this point it is evident that it is not the government that was behind this attack. And it is not the government that the people are targeting, but they're just trying to vent their anger, frustration, and shock at what has happened.
And Kamal, before I let you go, can you summarize for us what you believe will be Benazir Bhutto's legacy?
I think Benazir Bhutto's legacy would be the hope of the Pakistanis in a democratic state, the hope that Pakistanis can live as moderate Muslims in a free and fair democratic state. This is what all of us as Pakistanis had hoped when she came to Pakistan and when she became the first prime minister. And when she returned this time round this year, we were all hoping that once again Pakistan would be free, fair, and democratic.
Kamal Siddiqui with the News International. Thank you so much for joining us here at the Bryant Park Project with NPR News.
Thank you very much.
You are listening to the Bryant Park Project's continuing coverage of the assassination of Benazir Bhutto. The White House has issued a statement through spokesman Scott Stanzel, quote, "We condemn the acts of violence which took place in Pakistan today. The president will make a statement about the situation."
President Bush is on vacation in Crawford, Texas, but will be making his statement live at approximately 11 a.m. Eastern Time. Once again, two-time Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto assassinated at the age of 54. Like the Nehru Gandhi family of India, the Bhuttos are one of the world's most famous political dynasties. We will have more as the story evolves, and of course, continuous updates will be available at npr.org.